And this case of Dam HaNevelas is one of the six cases. The Mishnayos and Eidos, the beginning of the fifth parak, quote, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says there are six cases where the Beis Shammai are Lekula and the Besilel are Lechumra. So one of them is Dam HaNevelas. The Beis Shammai hold Dam HaNevelas is not Metami, only Besar HaNevelas. And we paskin like Besilel that Dam HaNevelas is Metami. So the question is, what is the source for that? The fact that Besar HaNevelas is Metami, that's a posuk in Chumash, but what is the source that Dam HaNevelas is Metame? So Taisus assumes throughout, this Taisus and all the other Taisus in, they give you the cross references on the side. In Masechus Shabbos, there's a Taisus. See, Shabbos daf on Zayin Amad Aleph is Shom. Shom means that the Taisus on that daf that covers the same topic. Then it says, Menachas daf Kuf Dalet Vishom means that there's a Taisus on that daf that talks about the same topic. So all the three Taisus in, working on the assumption that Basil's opinion is a din deraisa. So what is the mocha for Basil's opinion? So in the first few lines, Tosis goes with the assumption that Dam is Bechlal Basar. Whenever there's a din of Chumash that applies to Basar, it's itself understood that Dam is included in Basar. Then at the end of the Tosis, they backed out from that. Dam is not Bechlal Basar. Tzemach like his two opinions in Tosis. The first half of the Tosis, they go with the sheet that Dam is Bechlal Basar. And at the end, they moved away from that shita because of the Gemara and Psochem at Avcha Beis. Just to review again, the Sugim Psochem is the discussion of how do you know that Chometz bePesach is also Ba'anor. The Chumash only says they're not allowed to eat Chometz, it's also Ba'achila. Where does it say it's also Ba'anor? So one Tana says Chometz bePesach is Muta Ba'anor. Rabbi Yosef clearly says, Tamei Alatz Mecha, whoever heard of such a silly thing? Chometz bePesach is Asmanah, but we haven't accepted Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion. We paskin like the majority opinion. The Chometz bePesach is also Bahanua. So the Gemara has a famous machlekes sugya of Chizkia v'Rabbi Abahu. So Chizkia holds a psalokal pasuk over here that Chometz is Asmanah. Rabbi Abahu makes a general statement, and the Rambam quotes Rabbi Abahu. Kol makom shemer, any place in the Chumash where it says lo yochel lo sochlo lo sochlo. Anything that's asa b'achila is automatically asa b'hanor, unless you have a pasuk to indicate otherwise. So nevela, you have a pasuk, and treifa, you have a pasuk, and dam, you have a pasuk, and gidanosha is a machlek is satanai, but you have a pasuk. Machlek is whether gidanosha is asa b'hanor or not. Chulin bazar is a vaita machlek is satanai. So in the discussion of where is the pasuk that indicates that dam should be mutter. So Tosfos asks, how come the Gemara didn't say the following? The Gemara says, let's say, how do you know chelav is muta bano? How do you know chelav is muta bano? Truth of the matter, we said last week it's a pasuk. The chelav nevela, the chelav treifa, he also lechol malacha, bacha lo sachlu. That's a beferish of pasuk that chelav is muta bano. So you don't really need any more than that. How do you know Giranosha is muta banu? So Giranosha machloik is satanayim. And the Mishnah, Reb Shimon holds, Reb Shimon is quoted in the Mishnah, and it's quoted in the Zohar also. The Zohar was either edited by Reb Shimon or wrote it by Reb Shimon. So the Zohar it says the same as the Mishnah quotes Reb Shimon, that Giranosha is also banu. I mentioned the Zohar, because in Yerideya Paskin is the Tur Paskin Giranosha is muta banu. So the Bach asked the Kasha, why did he paskin muta bano? Based on the Cheshbon and the Gemara, we ought to paskin the Gidon Asha. It's a difficult Ramam. The Ramam should have paskin Gidon Asha is also manoa. And then the Bach says, and then the Beis Yosef says, Ubifrat, that it says in the Zohar that Gidon Asha is also manoa. So the Bach says, what did he gain by adding the Zohar? The Zohar is Reb Shimon. The Mishnah quotes Reb Shimon. It doesn't count as another Shita. It's the same Tana Reb Shimon. It said the same thing in two different places. The Mishnah quotes Reb Shimon in Per Gidon Asha, the Gidon Asha is Asabana, and in the Zohar they quote the same Reb Shimon. Just because it's quoted in two sources doesn't make it stronger. So that's why I mentioned the Zohar here, because that's relevant in the Yerideya discussion of whether Gidon Asha should be Asabana. So the Gemara says there, how do you know Nevela is Mutabano? Nevela says you're not allowed to eat Nevela. According to Rabbi Abahu, all Macholas Hasuris ought to be Asabana unless you have a pasuk indicating that it's mutabano. So the Gemara says, well, we have a pasuk, lagerish abishvachet titan abachola or machol anochi. So it says beferish that nevela is mutabano. Gerish abishvachet titan abachola machol anochi. You sell it to a goy and you get paid money. So that's you're getting hanoah from the nevela. Then the Gemara says, when the Torah says you're allowed to sell it to the nochri, it sounds like every part of nevela, the dead animal, is included. Let's say I shecht an animal, I didn't do a good job. So that dead animal is now nevela. The meat and the AMP is nevela. Because it didn't have a proper shechita. So the Gemara says, kishahutra nevela, when the Gemara says nevela is mutabano, everything that's included in the dead animal is assumed to be mutabano. So the chelev is also mutabano. Chelev, you don't need it, but we have the other puzzle. Says beferish that chelev is mutabano. But the Gemara says, even if you wouldn't have that pasuk, this pasuk that says nevela is mutabano, he vechelba vegida hutra. When it says that every part of the nevela you may charge, you may sell, means that you get hanor from nevela, you can get hanor from gid hanosha, and you can get hanor from the chelev as well. So it's a right that all three are mutabano. Then the Gemara says, but what's the issue regarding Gid Anosha? There is a machlokes satanim whether yesh begidin midayis hatam, ain begidin midayis hatam. Let's say a person eats a gid anosha of an elephant. He eats a gid anosha of an elephant. So, in addition to the yisa gid anosha, will it be an isa of behemoth tamei or not? So, one tanya is of the opinion, yes, that yesh begidin midayis hatam. Gid is the dinu kibosar. So just like Bisar, Behemoth Tmeya, is also Bachila, so the Gid Anosha of Behemoth Tmeya has an Isra Achila, Bitaris Behemoth Tmeya. Not only Bitaris Gid Anosha, Bitaris Behemoth Tmeya. Maybe it does have an Isra, maybe there is no Isra Bitaris Gid Anosha. Maybe Gid Anosha is only on kosher animals. That's another Machlokes HaTanaim and the Mishnah Gid Anosha. And Gid Anosha, the Torah only prohibits it. If you have a kosher animal, you can eat the whole thing, then you have to remove the Gid Anosha. Have a treif animal, so the Torah doesn't have to ask for the Gid Anosha. That's another discussion in Tanoim. But leaving that out. So the Gemara says, if you hold Yesh Begidin, but I said Tam, that Gid is Dino Kibasar, Gid not Dino Kibasar, so then you have the right to say, Keshvutru Nevela. Nevela includes everything in the dead animal, including Gid Anosha also, because Gid Anosha is Dino Kibasar, so Dino Kibasar Nevela. And when the Torah says that the Nevela is Mutamano, it's an indication that the Gid Anosha is also Mutamano. We happen to paskin ain begidin b'nais hatam. That gid doesn't taste like meat. Gid is like, the Gemara calls it eitz bi'alma. It's not roi l'achila. Gid ima not roi l'achila. And the Torah prohibits it, you're not allowed to eat it, but there is gid anosha. So if you have the gid of a behemoth tmeya, we would say there's neither an iser gid anosha, because the whole animal is non-kosher animal anyway. And there's no iser of besar behemoth tamei either, because ain begidin midayis hatam. So there's no iser basa. So if you hold ain begidin midayis hatam, gid anosha, or any gid for that matter, is not dina kibasa, then you have no right to say, you can't say kishuhutra nevela, he begida hutra. Gid anosha is not included. Let's say the animal has hoofs. So you say hoofs or horns. You say the horns are muta bachila. Okay, it's not basar. So you're going to say kashuch and nevela, the horns are also mutabano, the tlofim, the karnaim and the tlofim are also mutabano. It's not dina kibasa, it's not called nevela. Nevela only applies, the term nevela only applies to the bisarha nevela. It doesn't apply to other things, let's say the hair of the animal. The hair is mutabachila, it's not edible. But you can't say kashuch and nevela, so the hair is also muta. The hide is also muta. The hide is not treif in the first place. Hide is not dina kibasa. When the Torah talks about nevela being mutabano, it doesn't go on the hide, it doesn't go on the hair, it doesn't go on the toenails, it doesn't go on the karnaim and on the tlofim. That's not included in the basa. So if the way we paskan la locha, ain begidin b'nai sentam gid is not dina kibasar, that's a machalekes tatanam in per gid anosha. So we paskan ain begidin b'nai sentam. So when the Torah says that nevela is mutabano, it does not talk about gid anosha is not included in the term nevela, because gid is not dina kibasar. So then you can't say kishutra nevela he begida hutra. So then the way we paskan ain begin menais and tam should come out that gid anosha should be also bano, because you have no pasuk to say that it's mutter. That was the kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins ain begin menais and tam, and the Gemara says if you are like that, then you have no right to say kishutra nevela he begida hutra. Gid is not dina kibasa, it's not included. So why did the Rambam paskin like the Chachamim of the Reb Shimon the gid anosha is mutabano? I should have passed like Rab Shimon. The Gid Anosha is asmano. That's the difficult Rambam that the Rashbo asks on the Rambam. The Rambam is against the Gemara. And then the Beis Yosef said we should really pass on the Gid Anosha is asmano based on the psak that ain begin when I said dam. Or befrat, and in the Zohar it says like that. So that's what the Bach was masik, What did he gain by adding the Zohar? The Zohar is the same as Reb Shimon in the Mishnah. It's the same Tana of Reb Shimon. So getting back again to the Gemara of Psachim Dav Chabes. When the Gemara was discussing, how do you know that Dam is Mutabano? Everybody agrees that. Dam is also Bachil. Everybody agrees. You're not allowed to eat Dam. Kol Dam is Tachelu. It's an Issa Kares. And it says that Dam is Mutabano. Everybody agrees. There's no machlokes on that. Dam is, you can take blood and use it for fertilizer. The Mishnah is described like that. The dam from the Beis Hamikdash used to roll down the Mizbeach onto the floor, and then there was an amo, there was an indentation in the floor of the Beis Hamikdash. There was an amo deep and an amo wide, and water would flow through there. So the dam from all the carbonas, after they finished the Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach, would be flushed out in this amo of water, and then the farmers used to use it for fertilizer on their farms to help the vegetables grow better. So it's beferish and it's mutabano. It's mishnah is like that. So how do you know that dam is mutabano? So the Gemara stands on the head to prove where is there a pasuk that indicates a dam is mutabano. So Tosfos says the same pasuk that you're learning out to get on Nashi, Kishut and Avela. Everything is included in the Vela. If what we said in the first half of the Tosfos is correct, that Dam is Bechlal Basar, whenever there's a Din of Chumash regarding. Otherwise, where did Beisila get their opinion from? Beisila hold that Dam Hanavela is Metameh. And why is it Metameh Be'revias? Dam is Be'revias, because Yochel Likrosh V'lamar Al-Kazayas. So you have a conversion table. So a Revias of Dam, Nevela, is equivalent to a Kazayas. Of Bisar Hanavela. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara, that Dam is Bechlal Basar. So if you say it like that, so why didn't the Gemara in Psachim Dav Chabes, when they're trying to establish, how do you know that Dam is Mutamano, the Shura quote, Kishuach and Nevela, Hiva Dam Hutra, Dam is included in the Nevela. So it's a raif in the Gemara that Dam is not Bechlal Basar. That Dam is a liquidy, and Basar is a solid, it's a food. Dam is not a food. So you see from the Gemara that Dam is not Bechlal Basar. So we're back again. So what's the source of Beisila's opinion? How do they come off to say that the Dam Hanavelis Metamei Berevias the Tosfos ends off? It must be a pasuk somewhere which the Gemara never quoted. That's the gist of the Tosfos. So I mentioned last week that the Rashash there in the beginning of the fifth parent Adius writes, look in the Ravid, we have Amaseches Adius, we have the commentary of the Ravid printed on the side of the page. In the Gemara, standard edition of the Gemara's, the Vilna Shas. So the Raiva there is clear that Beis Hillel Shita is only Midi Rabbanon. That Dam is not Bechlal Basar, and there is no Pasuk to indicate that the Dam Hanavela is Metameh, and the Machlek is Beis Hillel Basham is only on the level of the Rabbanon. Beis Hillel Shita is only Midi Rabbanon. Akzera, that if you'll say that Dam Hanavela is not Metameh, people will think that Bsar Hanavela is also not Metameh. Shine? Okay. So regarding this, the two opinions in Tosfos, whether Dam is Bechlal Basar, Dam not Bechlal Basar, so Tosfos concludes, their conclusion is Dam is not Bechlal Basar.
So what are the Akiva and the Chachamim arguing about?
No, they're talking Dam from a human being, from a mace. When a human being dies, we call it a mace. When an animal, when an elephant dies, or a deer dies, or a cow dies, we call it a nevela. A dead body is also a nevela, and dead behemoth is also a mace. But technically, we call this one a mace. By mace is metame min haTorah. By Adam, mace is metame min haTorah. But by nevela, dead animal, that's machlekes Tosfos in the Ravid, whether the tumah of Revi'ah's dam is deraisa derabon.
What about the klal of yotzei min ha'aser?
That's what we're going to talk about right now. Okay, yotzei min ha'aser is a mishnah in Bcharis in the first period that if you milk a pig or if you milk an elephant, if the elephants have milk. I don't know. An elephant is not a kosher animal. Doesn't have malah gerah mafis parsa. So if you milk the elephant, you milk the pig. Pig does have milk. So you're not allowed to drink the milk. What kind of a din is that? That's hayotzim and hasav is also. The Gemara learns that from psukim. One of their more famous psukim that the Gemara has is bas hayano. The Chumash lists off all the non-kosher birds that you're not allowed to eat. So one of the non-kosher birds is bas hayano. What do you mean? Only the female Yana is Asa, and the male Yana is Mutter. The male and the female are both Asa. It's the same Oif Tomei, and they're both Asa Machila. Gemara says, no, Basa Yana doesn't mean the females are Asa. It means Beitzas Oif Tomei. If you have an ostrich, a Yana, we usually assume is an ostrich. If you have an ostrich, a non kosher bird, and it lays an egg, so that's the Basa Yana. Doesn't matter whether it's going to be a male or a female chick. An egg that's laid by a non kosher bird is Asa. So from that pasuk, we establish the principle hayotze min ha'aser aser. If you get milk from a non-kosher animal, either a pig or a cow that has a broken leg, in a way that the cow is a treifa, it's also yotze min ha'aser is also. Anything that's developed inside the body of a behemoth tmeyo or a behemoth treifa is also aser b'achila. So we're going to talk about that right now. So in connection with this Tosfos, there is a story that they tell about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that when he was marrying off one of his children, I never heard which one of the children it was, so he did not, he sent that wedding invitation, so he did not want to invite Rav Blazer Telzer. Rav Blazer Gordon was the Rav in Telzer, and he founded the Telzer Yeshiva. So he didn't want to invite him because there was a political machloikis in the Aguda, whether the Aguda should sponsor a newspaper or not. So Rav Blazer Telzer felt that the religious Jews have to have their own newspaper in order to publicize their opinions, in order that the religious Jews should understand what the Rabbanim and the Aguda want to educate the public, what their positions are and everything. Rav Chaim was afraid you're going to have a newspaper, it's going to be full of Lashon Hara. So he was opposed. So he didn't want to invite Rav Blazer Telzer to come to the wedding because he didn't want to get involved in politics. Rav Blazer Telzer came uninvited to the wedding. And he said, a good friend comes uninvited, and the reason, he said, I understand the reason why you didn't invite me, this is not the truth, the reason why you didn't invite me, the real truth is because he didn't want to get involved with the politics, with the newspaper. But he said, the reason why is because the Rambam writes, a Gemara, you're not allowed to invite someone if you know he's not going to come, and I live so far away, I live in Telz, so you assumed I'm so far away, I would never be able to come. But I happened to be in the neighborhood, which was not true. He said, I happened to be in the neighborhood, so a good friend comes uninvited. So Rav Chaim respected Rav Blazer Telzer very much, and he was mechaber him to be Mesadik Kiddushin by the wedding. It's probably in history books that you find out which wedding the uninvited guest was honored to be Mesadik Kiddushin, because he said here, Rav Blazer Telzer was the greatest Oyev Torah of that generation. Okay. So Rav Blazer Telzer went back after the wedding, went back to Telz, and they didn't hold from each other in learning. The Brisker with the Telzer had a different style. So the Telzer used to make fun of the way the Brisker learned, Brisker used to make fun of the Telzer. So when he came back to Telz, he said, we should stop making fun of the Brisker style of learning. Brisker Rav knows how to learn. He knows how to paskan shalat. He called Rav Chaim was the Brisker Rav. Those, the Rogachover, used to learn with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik as children. They learned together. So he didn't think too highly of other people. So he used to call Rav Chaim Brisker Rav's son, as his father. The Beis HaLevi was the Brisker Rav. So he used to knock down Rav Chaim. He said, Brisker Rav's son. Okay. But he was known during his lifetime. He was known as the Brisker Rav, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So Rav Blazer tells us that a shaila came up regarding the kashrus of the food at the wedding. And Rav Chaim really paskened the shaila well. They didn't know how to learn very well. So the Talmid Chachamim and Tel said, tell us the shaila and we'll tell you what the din is. You don't have to be Brisker Rav. So they told him the shaila was the following. They didn't have catering in those times. Each balabasta cooked a couple of pieces of chicken. Everyone had a pot. My father told me by my bris, I wasn't born 500 years ago. By my bris, they didn't have a caterer. So a couple of women, this woman baked a couple of cookies, and this woman baked a couple of cakes, and this one made some gefilte fish. And everyone brought everything together. That's how you cater the bris. That's how you cater the wedding. That's how you used to cater a wedding. So one of the women who cooked a couple of pieces of chicken for the wedding also had, when they had treifa meat, when they would shech the beim and they see that it was a treifa, so they used to sell the treifa meat to the goyim, and sometimes the Jews would buy some of the treifa meat to feed the cat. The cats eat meat. I'm not familiar. That's how the story goes. They needed a cat in order to attack the mice. They had mice. They weren't asking for the mice. But so they all needed cats in order to eat up the mice. So they had to give food to the cat. So they used to buy the treifa flesh. It was less expensive than that. They'd have to give a lot of kosher meat to the cat. So they'd buy treifa meat and give it to the cat. So when the balabasta was cooking the chicken in the big pot that she had, so she had a piece of treifa meat on the side, which of course she did not put into the pot. And then she had a maid, a Jewish maid, and the Jewish maid saw a piece of meat on the side. So she, a piece of meat, whatever. Yeah, a piece of meat. So she threw the piece of meat into the big pot. So the Baal Buster came back into the kitchen and she realized that the piece of meat was missing. So she asked the maid, what happened to the piece of meat? So she said, I threw it into the pot. So the balabasta quickly looked into the pot. She recognized which was the tray for piece of meat, and she took it out, and she gave it to the cat to eat. So it disappeared. And then they realized that there's a shaila whether everything was cooking or was burning hot. So if you cook kosher meat with tray for meat, so then the sinas tam goes in, the flavor from the tray for meat goes into the kosher meat. So it was meat, it wasn't chicken. The story was it was meat. So the no, it doesn't have to be meat. I don't remember whether it was meat or chicken. It's irrelevant. Okay, so the shaila was the piece of meat wasn't so big, and they didn't know whether there was shishim or not. If you have shishim against that piece of meat, the Gemara says you don't know how much flavor came out from the one piece of meat, so you have to be choshish. Maybe so much flavor came out can egged the whole volume of the piece of meat. So if she would still have the piece of meat that was treif, and you'd be able to calculate whether you had shishim in the pot against the small piece of meat. But the woman didn't realize it, so she gave the piece of meat to the cat. The cat ate it up. So now we don't know whether you have shishim or not. So he told the Blazer tells us, told the Rabbanim and tells, that was the shayla. So they said, what's the shayla? It's a beferish din in Yerideya, that if you pour chazer shmaltz into vegetable soup, it's mishena minai. Then you have an issue of nisina stam. When you're going to be eating the vegetable soup, you'll be able to taste the flavor of the tray for schmaltz. So mimshena mina, it's a different flavor. So you need shishim minat Torah. And it says a sofik deraisa luchumra. If you have a sofik where they have shishim or not, so you have to go luchumra. But if you cook tray for meat with kosher meat, it's all the same flavor. It's all mim b'mina. So mim b'mina minat Torah is bottle b'rav. You don't need shishim. The whole need for shishim is only mid the rabbanon. So the din is that a sofik shishim is lahakal. Sofik rabbanon lekula. Sofik shishim is lahakal. So that's what the Rabbanim said and tells. Blazer tells and said, that's all you have to say. So they said, okay, let us think for a moment. So they thought, Mistama, the whole genius of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Mistama, the whole Ein Fall was the following, that when you buy meat, the balabasta always used to salt their own meat. My mother used to salt their own meat. Now nobody salts their own meat. Now you buy the meat from the butcher, the meat is already salted. But I remember my mother, it wasn't centuries ago, until recently, the balabasta would salt her own meat. So they wouldn't salt the meat that they're going to feed to the cat. The cat, his cat is eating tray for meat anyway. So since they didn't salt the meat, so there was blood in the meat. So the blood is treif, and the blood in the flesh is mimishena mina. So mimishena mina in each shishim in our Torah. So if you have a sofik shishim, that'll be a sofik deraisa luchumra. So Rav Blazer tells us, said, that's all? So he said, give us a minute. So they said, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. Because the Gemara says that the dam shebishloi, we paskin, is only the rabbanon. The isa, the rice of eating dam, is only if the dam is in its original state. But if you cooked it already, then it's only an isa, the rabbanon. That's Ashkenazim paskin. Sfardim, it's not so clear. But the Sfardim followed the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch. That's a discussion in Sfardim Shachrein, whether the Mechaber paskins like that or not. But the Ramah for sure paskins like that. So here we're dealing with Ashkenazim. So Dam Shebishla is only the Rabbanah. So even though it's Mimshein Amina, but the whole Isa, Dam Shebishla, so it was cooking. The Dam was cooking in the pot. So Dam Shebishla is only the Rabbanah. So the whole need for the Shishim could only be with the Rabbanah. Even though it's Mimshein Amina, the whole Isa, Dam Shebishla is only the Rabbanah. The Blazer tells us, said, that's all? So they were thinking and thinking, and they said, that's all. They said, no, you have to be Rabbiskerov to be able to go the next step. So he said, Rav Chaim said, Dam Shebishla is only the Rabbanah takes off the Yisa Dam, but it doesn't take off the Yisa Trefa. This was a Trefa animal, either a Trefa bird or a Trefa, probably a Trefa piece of flesh. Since it's an Yisa Trefa, so Dam Shebishla takes off the Yisa Dam, the chorus, but it doesn't take off the Yisa Trefa. So the Chachmei Tel said, but that's not correct, because Taisus comes to the conclusion, and all the three Taisus, and the Dam is not Bechlal Basa. So Dam doesn't have an Issa Trefa on it. So he said, they yes. So the Rav Blazer tells us that they yes, Rav Chaim, that Kasha also, when he gave the Psak. And he explained that it's a mistake. That Taisus is talking about Nevela, Keshutra, Nevela, Hiva, Chelba, Vigida, Hutra. The Gemara in Psachim that Taisus quotes is talking about Nevela, not talking about Trefa. So when you talk about Nevela, the only way to say that the dam is included in Isa Nevela is if your dam is included in Bosa. So Tosfos comes to the conclusion, dam is not Bechlal Bosa. But as far as that this animal was not a Nevela, this, by mistake, they put in the trefa piece of flesh, this was a trefa. A trefa is not the same. So a trefa, while it's alive, the animal is a trefa. So just like if you milk a cow and you discover that that the animal, the cow was a trefa, so the milk is yotzei min ha'aser, it's aser. So not only does yotzei min ha'aser cause an isa on the beitza soif tamei, not only does it make an isa on the cholav behemah tmeya, or cholav of a trefa, it makes an isa on the dam of the trefa. If you have dam nevela, so the animal while it was alive was not a nevela. After it dies, it doesn't produce any more dam. So the dam of a nevela, Tosfos is talking about dam on a nevela, the gemarim sochem dav chavdeis. So when you talk about dam on a nevela, it only be osur if its dam is bechlal basa. If its dam is not bechlal basa, it's not going to be included. But if you're talking about a trefa, the animal while it was walking around, while it was alive, was a trefa. And the body keeps on producing blood, and keeps on, every day, the body keeps on producing blood and losing blood. For this, I think, 3 months, I think, 90 days. After 90 days, all the blood is in ganz and different. Body keeps on producing dam. So here the animal was a trefa for a long time. We didn't know till after we shechted it. We checked inside, we saw it's a trefa. So the dam was produced by the animal while it was alive. The animal was alive, was a trefa. An animal while it's alive is not an avela. So the dam of an avela will only be also if your whole dam is bechlal basa. So Tosfos proves dam is not bechlal basa. But the dam of a trefa is also not because dam is bechlal basa. Because hayotzei min ha'aser is aser. So Rav Chaim said that's an isa deraisa because dam shevishla only takes off the isa dam that has the kares, but it doesn't take off the isa yotzei min ha'aser asa. So therefore it was aser min ha'aser. So that was the psak that Rav Leizer tells it, told the Chachmei, tells they should stop making fun of Brisk because the Rav Chaim Brisk knew how to paskin Hashem. That's the story the way they tell over here. I, just by way of a footnote, if you have a big Yerideya, so there's a commentary in the back that's called Prima Godim. Prima Godim has a commentary on the Shach and on the Tatz. Then the Prima Godim has a couple of pages that's a checklist. When a Baal HaBos comes about, Baal HaBos that comes with a Shaila, asks the following questions in order to be able to pass him properly. Was the trefa pot used in the last 24 hours? Do you have Shishim? And then he has exactly this Shaila. The Prima Godim has step by step the whole calculation. Is it dam shebishlo? Is it a nevela? Is it a trefa? Because Tosfos only said it by nevela, not by trefa. So the whole thing is in the Prima Godim. So I don't understand what the whole big gedula of Rav Chaim with the they didn't have a Prima Godim. That's in the checklist. Maybe no one reads the checklist. That's called hanhagas hashel v'hanishal. When a shel comes with a shaila, the rov is the nishal. He's asked the shaila. So you have a checklist of what you're supposed to ask. Every point is there. Do you have shishim? Is it a suffix shishim? Is it mimimina? Is it mimashenimina? Is it dam shebishla? Is it dam nevela? Is it dam she? Everything's there on the checklist. So for those who read Prima Godim as a checklist, you don't need the whole godless of Rav Chaim. Anyway, but Prima Godim was an ordinary godless also. He knew how to pass in the shaila well too. Okay, that's the story. This story I never heard from Rav Soloveitchik. This story I heard from Rav Gershon Zaks told me here for this story. And Rav Zalig Esmin told me the other half of the story about Rav Leizer tells it coming uninvited. I forgot already who. One of them told me that part of the story, and then the other one told me the other part of the story. Okay, so that's this thesis is famous. Halacha lemaisa. The dam is not bechlal basar, but the dam of a trefa will be also because of yotzei min ha'aser. But dam on a vela, there is no yotzei min ha'aser, because while the animal is alive, it's not in the vela. After it dies, it doesn't produce any more dam. So dam of a trefa, dam of an avela can only be also if you should assume dam is bechlal basa. And Tosfos proves in the Gemara that dam is not bechlal basa. Okay. So the rest of the daf, the Gemara quotes various sources to show that there is a machlokes hatanaim, whether yeshem la mikro or yeshem la maser. Then the Gemara comes on Amud Beis. The Gemara on the bottom of Amud Aleph raised the possibility lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So b'chalev imo means he can't cook flesh with milk. B'chalev imo with cholav of the mother. But if you all yeshem la masores, that you ignore the kri, so maybe the Torah is prohibiting that you're not allowed to cook basar with chalev. There is no such din. There is no such din. But the Gemara says maybe that's how you should establish halacha. We should ignore the kri, and we should have the right to follow the ksiv. So the Gemara says the answer is the top line. No, you don't ignore the kri. Yeshem la mikra, you follow the kri. Does anybody disagree with that? And they hold this and they said the raisa against cooking meat with chaylev. Nobody disagrees. So the Gemara says on the top line, Elo, you have to back out from everything that it says on Amud Aleph. There never was a machlokes. Elo dekuli yam, all the tanaim agree. Yeshem la mikra. Everybody agrees you follow the kri. What's the machlokes? Rebbe and the Rabbanon that we started off with, that the perik is dinim amenis b'shloisha, and Rebbe in the Tasefta is quoted as saying dinim amenis b'chamisha. The Gemara says that machlokes was, it says, asher yashiyun Elohim. Yashiyun is plural, so you add on another two dayonim. It says Elohim, Elohim twice, that means two dayonim. Ein bezin shalka makes it three. And then it says asher yashiyun Elohim, another two dayonim. So you need five. That's how Rebbe said five. How do the Rabbanon disagree? The Gemara says, no, but it's a kri aksiv. And the ksiv is yashiyun. So we ignore the kri. The only father of the ksiv, yashiyun. So now the Gemara says nobody says you ignore the kri. The kuliyam, everybody gives yeshem la mikra. So why did the Rabbanon disagree and hold that dinim amenis b'shloisha? They should say dinim amenis b'chamisha. The Gemara says no, it's a different machlekes. Everybody agrees the din is yashiyun plural, but the machlekes is Rabbanon sabi yashiyun dehechu dehai. The dayan from before and the dayan from this pasuk, you add them all up and it adds up to two, three. Rebbe holds no, and Rebbe said the Yashiyun Elohim Achrini, another two Dayanim, and the Rabbanon say no, the plural of Yashiyun is the previous Dayanim mentioned and the extra Dayan from over here. Fine. Then the Gemara says Rabbi Yudah ben Roetz about how many days the Yoledes is Tameya. A Yoledes has first he made Tuma, then he made Tahara. So if she gives birth to a baby boy, 7 days and 33 days of he made Tohar. And then she brings the carbon after the melosa is over, after the 40 days. She has a baby girl. Then the Yimei Tumah is 14 days, and the Yimei Tohar is 66 days. Yimei Tohar means even if she has a real Rias Dam in the middle of the 33 days, or the 66 days, she'll still be Tomei. She'll still be Tohar. Even if she has a real Rias Dam, she'll still be Tohar. We don't observe that. We don't follow that Kula anymore. It says in the Chumash like that. We don't follow that Kula. The Goyim had a machlokes, and we follow that opinion in the Goyim. When you have Ben Ois Yisrael, Echmiru al Atzmon, the women adopted a minig. The Gemara says, Hechad enog nog, Hechad elo nog, lo nog. This is not a din de Rabbana, it's only a minig. In the days of the Gemara, it was only a minig. In the days of the Rishonim, it's a machlokes. This is still only a minig, or did it become a din de Rabbana? We pass in a year a day, it's still only a minig. Ben Ois Yisrael, Echmiru al Atzmon, is a minig. Shafil Leroy, Stipas Dam Kachar, Yoshis Olav Shivinig. So that minig is a machlekes in the days of the Goyim. Does that include also dam tohar? If the woman has rias dam in the middle of the 33 days by a boy, middle of the 66 days by a girl, then you say she had a rias dam, so she becomes asur labailo. So our meaning is that we're not mater the woman if she has a rias dam during yimei tohar. We assume, like those Goyim, that this too is included in the Bereis Yisraelach Meir al Atzman, that we're not mater dam tohar anymore. And others disagree. Others, but that's the accepted practice today. So that's the Yimei Tohar. The Rambam quotes a practice from the Karaim, who had their own interpretation on the whole Chumash from the beginning to the end. They have everything different. The whole Torah Shabbat is different by them. Because we have traditions of Torah Shabbat Peh, how to read the Psukim in the Chumash. Many Karaim didn't wear tefillin. Because it says Shat Melos Al Yadecha, V'Hilat Tovus Bein Enecha. They understood it just means you should think and learning all the time. So on this pasuk also they said Teishay B'Dmei Tohara means the opposite. That even if the woman has a Rias Dam that's not Noitel Admumis at all, it's some other secretion. That part of the woman's body is always moist. There's always something coming out. But usually it's not Dam. Something yellow. Something other things. Other secretions coming out. But so it's only tamei, it's only asas the woman. If it's other dam that's not red, is not metame. So the karaim interpreted teishay b'dmei tohara. Even if she has dam tohar, it is lachumra. The opposite. We pass on halacha teishay b'dmei tohara means the 33 days or the 66 days of the meitor by a boy and by a girl, respectively, means even if the woman has a rias dam tamei, she's still tohar. It's not metame her in the 33 days. we have a minig that we don't allow it, but it's only mitam minig. It's not a din derabanan even. It's certainly not a din derais. The karoim interpreted punk faker teisha v'dmei tahor. Even if a woman has a ria that's not tamei dmei tahara damim mare tahor, it still asks her lebaila. So we don't follow that. The Rama makes fun of that and he says you're not allowed to follow that. That's a practice that stems from the karoim. So the Gemara said maybe it says. The Oledis Nekev is Tameah for 14 days, then she has Yimeitor of 66 days. And well, how do you know that Tomash Vuayim, you follow the decree, she's Tameah for 14 days? Maybe she means Tomash Shivim, Kimeni Dos, maybe Tameah for 7 days. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Roy said, no, Yeshem La Mikro, you follow the decree. So the Gemara says now, no one disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda ben Roy, love pligar rabbanan lai. Nobody disagrees. That's exactly what we're pushing for now. Top line. Kuliyam yeshem lamikra. Everybody agrees. Yeshem lamikra. No one ever said you ignore the decree. Of course, the halachas like the decree. The Gemara is going to back out from this, but that's what the Gemara is pushing now. Then the Gemara says, but what about the machlokes bishamay bishilel by achatos bishamay hold? L'chatchili need four zrikas on the dalad karnas hamizbech and b'di'evet b'shamay rab the opinion two zrikas on me'akev. And Basil say we pass like Basil, only one zrika is me'akev. You don't need two zrikas. So the Gemara Amar Alam said it has to do with Yeshem Lamikra versus Yeshem Lamasoris, because even though the Kree is all three times karnos, but the Ksiv has it that one of them is karnos and two of them are karnas. So you're adding up how many times it says Karen, only says four times, it doesn't say six times. Bishama came up with their shita, because it says six times Karen, Karnos, Karnas, Karnas. So four are, there are only four corners on the Mizbeach. So four are Lachatchila, and two are the Hikuvah, two are B'diyevet. And Mesillah say, no, there are only four because they pasken according to the Ksiv, and the Ksiv is Karnas, Karnas, and only one Karnos. The Gemara Amud Alb said that's the machlekes b'shamim b'silvay the shem amikle shem lamasaris. Gemara now on Amud Beis is trying to back out from that. They're going to back out from the Chazara. Now they back out that everybody agrees yeshem lamikra. So if everybody agrees, so what's the mocker for the b'silvay shita? It's not based on yeshem masaris that we ignore the decree. Everybody agrees you follow the decree. That's what the decree is all about. Gemara says no, a different b'risa. The Tanya, we have a b'risa. Gives a totally different explanation. It says v'chiper three times v'chiper v'pnei hadin. What do you mean v'pnei hadin? One could have put up an argument that all four zrikas of achatos amiyaket. That's even more than b'shamay say. B'shamay only say two of the four zrikas amiyaket. But the Bryce is implying one could have put up a din, an argument that all four matanas amiyaket. What would the argument be? You should be alfinon chutz mipneim, just like an achatos apnimios. Once in a long, long while, you bring achatos that you zorik the dam on the mizbeach apnimi. Mizbeach apnimi is a posuk in chumash, is the mizbeach haktoris. You're not allowed to be makar with any karbonis. You're not allowed to be zorik any dam there. On Yom Kippur, once a year, you zorik the dam over there. And once in a century, if at all, maybe once in a thousand years, maybe it never happened, there's an institution at Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur. If the Bez Nagodl made a mistake in Halacha, and they allowed something that has an Issa Koris, and the Rav HaTzibur and Eretz Yisrael violated the Issa, the whole thing is so far-fetched that such a thing should happen. Bez Nagodl made a mistake on an Issa Koris, and they were matter something, and the Rav HaTzibur followed it, and then the Bez Nagodl backed out. The whole thing is so far-fetched. So then you bring a Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur, same thing, Par Koyim Mashiach, also pretty rare. The Nagodl made a mistake in Halacha. Kohen Gadol has to be a Talmid Chacham. Many times the Kohen Gadol, but not Talmid Chachamim. Bai Sheni for sure. He used to buy the right to be the Kohen Gadol. So a lot of them are not Talmid Chacham. So this whole Par Kohen Mashiach doesn't apply. Par Kohen Mashiach only applies if the Kohen Gadol is a Talmid Chacham who's entitled to express an opinion on a halachic issue. And he paskin that something is mutter, and he went ahead and he did it based on his psak, and then he realizes that he paskin wrong. Then he realizes they pass him. Same as Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur. So that's Chatos HaPnimiyas. On Yom Kippur you have it once a year, and Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur, if there ever was one. The Gemara never records whether there ever was such a thing. Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur, the Bez Nagodol, she give a mistake in Psak. The Gemara says in one place later in Sanhedrin, maybe Bais HaMenuga never existed, maybe Ben Saramar never existed, maybe Irini Dachas never existed. Should have said Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur never existed. The Gemara doesn't say one way or the other whether it's the whole thing is so far-fetched. Par Halam Dovah Shel Tzibur is only if it was a unanimous vote. All 71 members of the Bez Nagoral made a mistake. And they have a memuna, echad memuna al kulam also. They had a consultant, so the consultant also made a mistake. The whole thing is so far-fetched. And the rov of the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, listen to them also. They're going to listen to the Rabbanim. No one's going to realize that there's a mistake. The whole story is so far-fetched. Okay. So these are the chatos ha-primis. Chatos ha-primis, the din is, matana achas mehem, yakebis, each and every zrika. It doesn't mean one zrika. People misunderstand, that people mistranslate. Matan achas me'akev is only one zrika is me'akev. It means each and every zrika is me'akev. Matan achas me'akev is in Ezem HaKayman, in the Siddur, before Baruch Shammah. So it says, Matan achas me'akev means each and every zrika is me'akev. So that's what the Gemara says, Mepnei Hadin, I would have learned Amamotzinun from Chatoas HaPnimis to Chatoas HaChitzonios. We know based on Psukim that by Chatoas HaPnimios, every single zrika is ma'akev. So one could have argued the point. Let's line out chatas achitzayna. Chatas achitzayna means korv on the mizbech achitzayna, on the mizbech o'ilo. Learning that from all the chatas apnimis that the zrika sadam is done on the mizbech apnimi, that every single zrika should be ma'akev. So it should be more machma than b'shamay. B'shamay say only two zrikas are ma'akev. So the brisa brings up v'haloi dinhu, shouldn't I learn out chatas achitzayna from chatas apnimi? Every zrika should be ma'akev. So that's why you have the three psukim, the chiper. The chiper means afa pi shalonos and ela sholosh matonis. The chiper api a second time the chiper api shalonos and ela shtei matonis. Then the third chiper means the korban is acceptable b'dievet even if you only did one matona. Matonas are in the keva, right? Matona, matona. Come and say the end. What is it? They have a misprint in my gemara. I have a misprint. Tamilam v'chipa v'chipa m'pnei hadin. V'chipa api shalanasan ela shlosha. Should say shalosh, not shlosha. My Gemara says shlosha. It's a mistake. V'chipa afalpi. It should say v'chipa avav. Each one the avavs are missing. It should say v'chipa api shalanasan ela shalosh. V'chipa api shalanasan ela shtaim. V'chipa api shalanasan ela achas. By the shtaim and achas, it's loshen nikei because zrikas matonis is loshen nikei. And by the first one shlosha, that's a mistake. It should be shalosh. So the Gemara says the mokah for the Besillah is not based on Yeshem Lamasoris, that we follow Masoris as opposed to the Mikra. No! Gemara now suggests everybody agrees Yeshem Lamikra, and over there there's a different Yalfusa. V'chipa, 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 that only one Zrika is Me'akev. Fine. Then the Gemara says, what about Reb Shimon and Rabbanan by the Sukkot? How many defanas do you have to have by the Sukkot? The Chachamim say, Shtaim Kilchasim means at a right angle to each other. Shlishes hafilu tefach, and Reb Shimon disagrees. Reb Shimon is more machmir. He says you need shalosh kilchasim, three attached, U-shaped, or reviz hafilu tefach. Yeah, reviz hafilu tefach. So anamid aleph, we thought that machlekes Reb Shimon nachacham depends on Yeshem lamikra versus Yeshem lamaser. Mar says no. You can re-explain that it has nothing to do with that. Fine. Shimon rabbanabok ligi. Shimon savas chachala boy kro. So you have Ein Dorshim Tchila, so the first one you don't count, and then the others are three, and then you have Yidarshin, you need four, and Alokha Moshe Mesin is Megarea one, and the Rabbana holds Chacham Boikro, so you only have three Defanas are there, and then the Alokha Moshe Mesin chisels down the third one, Revius Avilatev, Shlishes Avilatev, Shay. Then the Gemara says, what's the Machlokes of Bekivin the Rabbanan? By Revius Avilatev, Mishnei Mesim, does not depend on. I'll call nafshas mesla nafshos in the plural, but it's the ksiv is nafshas. Doesn't depend on Yeshem Lamikra. Gemara says no, not necessarily. You can say everybody agrees Yeshem Lamikra that it's you read it nafshos and that's the halacha nafshos. Rabbi Kiva understands that to mean you have one revius habo mishnei mesim, two different people died, and the chachamim the Rabbi Kiva say no. I'll call nafshas mesla because they're dead people in general. It doesn't mean you have. He came, the Nazir came in contact. Who is this? By the Nazir. Akol Nafshes Meis Lo Yovai. By the Kohen Gadol it says. Kohanim are not allowed to be mitamei to Meisim unless it's Zayin Kroivim. The Kohen Gadol not even allowed to be mitamei to the Zayin Kroivim. Nazir and Kohen Gadol, same thing. They're only allowed to be mitamei to the Meis Mitzvah. So this is in Vayikra Chofalov, it says. So that's by the Tumas Kohanim. Akol nafshes meis liyovas. Rabbi Kiva understands the plural nafshos to imply you have two mesim and it's one revius of dam. And the Chachamim and the Rabbi Kiva said, no, it means mesim in general. You shouldn't come in contact with any mesim, because the mesim will be metamihim. Shoy. So now the Gemara, just to review again. The whole Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, there is a machlekes all over Shas, all over the place. When you have a conflict between Kri and Ksiv, which one do you follow? The Gemara says, no, there is no such machlekes. The top line, Kula Yami Hashem Amik, everybody agrees you follow the Kri. And each case that we said in Amud Aleph is a different reason why they don't want to follow the Kri. But nobody holds the Hashem Lamasar. Then the Gemara says, what are you talking about? The Kula Yama. After the halfway point on Omid Beis, everybody agrees that you ignore the Masoris and your father decree. It's not true. There's a Beferish and Machlaikas. The Gemara backs out and says, that's right. Of course there is a Machlaikas. What we said in Omid Aleph is correct. There is a Machlaikas, but the Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasoris. It doesn't necessarily have to be that that's what they're fighting about by Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. One could give an alternate shot, but there clearly is a Machlaikas at Tanaim. But Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasoris. So that's what the Gemara quotes from the Tefillin. How do you know that the Bayis Shel Rosh has to have four separate compartments? So the Gemara said, Kuli Yame Yeshem Lamikra, question mark. Is that true that nobody holds Yefala Masoris? I behold Tanya. The Pasuk says, Ohayla Tetofos. So it says, in two of the parishes, it says Totofos. The decree is Totofos. But the Ksiv is missing a vav between the Pei and the Tof. Totefes, Totefes, Le Totofos with a vav. So you add it up, Harekan, Arba, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's how you establish the halacha. It's based on a pasuk in the Chumash. That's how you establish halacha, that the Bayis Shel Rosh has to have four separate compartments. Bayis Shel Yad have all the dalet parshas on one cloth. It's all in one compartment. Bayis Shel Rosh has to have four separate compartments. So that's where Rabbi Shmuel learns it out from the fact that Yeshem Lamasoris, you follow the Ksiv. And two are Totev, one is Totofos. Rabbi Kiva, I'm Eino Tzorech. You don't have to say like that. Tat Bekasvi Shtam. The word Totefes itself means four units. Why? Because the word tat in one language is two, the word pas in another language is two, so two and two is four, that's how you know. So you see that there is a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, do you say Yeshem LaMikra or Yeshem LaMaser? Rabbi Shmuel holds you do follow the Ksiv. So Gemara says, Eliyadam Pligi, we're going back to what we said in Amud Aleph, there is such a machlekes. However, we're stuck. If there is such a machlekes, so how do you know that the Oledus Cave is only there for 2 weeks? Tomash Vuayin can he does so? But maybe you should follow the Ksiv and not the Kri. But Tomash Ivim, maybe she's Tmeh for 70 days. So the Gemara says, no, you say Yeshem LaMikra. But now we said there's a machlekes Atanaim. There is a machlekes Atanaim, Yeshem LaMikra, or Yeshem LaMasar. So maybe the Oledus Cave is Taka Tmeh for 70 days, then you make Tohar 66 days after that. So Gemara says, no, Elo Liolam Pligi. There is a machlekes, whether Yeshem Lamika. However, Bahani Mili, when is there a machlekes? When there's a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv. It says Yishgalena, and the Kri is Yishgavena. Or it says a totally different word. There's a real conflict between the two. But over here, the word Shvuayim and the word Shivim, it's spelled the same way. Here there's no Kri Ksiv. The only time there's a machlekes hatanaim and some hold Yeshem Lamasoris is when there's a kriyaksiv, when there's a conflict. Here there is no kriyaksiv. That's the correct way to spell. There's no kriyaksiv. There's not a kriyaksiv, then there never was a machlekes. That's how the Gemara suggests. V'hani mili, when is there a machlekes? When does some tanaim hold Yeshem? Gemara's going to back out from this too, in another line. But first the Gemara thought, V'hani mili, when is there a machlekes? And half of the tanaim would say, you follow the ksiv. When the Kri is different from the Ksiv, when you have a Kri Ksiv, so everybody agrees, Yeshem Lamikra. Fine. That's not true. That's not true. We see Beferish that there are Tanoim who would say Yeshem Lamasores, even though there's no Kri Ksiv. Even though there's nothing strange about the spelling of the word, Freg di Gemara, there is a machlokes hatanaim b'hara yira yeroe. What does it say? Sholosh pam hashana yeroe kol zchurchas pnei Hashem alokecha. So the word says yeroe. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Teimo, Tosis wrote on Amud Aleph on the Tosis here. kula svir lahu andala namanal. So the first half of the Tosfos they wrote, they explained that whenever it's possible to develop halacha by combining together the kriya and the ksiv, the masoros with the mikra, you should do that. That's why we said the example of chiyuta mai malzera, yutan dumya deyitan yidarshan the kriya and the ksiv. So that's what this Tana darshan's over here. The simple reading of the Pasuk Olos Prashana, Yei Ra Ekol Schurcha. We should all the Jewish men should appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he should look at us. Yei Ra Ekol Schurcha, God should look at us. And Rabbi Yehuda ben, who is it? Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, no. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi, quoting Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, he says, that's one level of reading the Pasuk, that's Pshuto Shal Mikra, according to the Kri. But according to the Ksiv, what it says, Shal Shav Roshana, Yireh Kol Schurcha Panei Hashem. We should all come to look at the Shechina. How can you look at the Shechina? He doesn't have any body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein La Guf, Ein La Masig Ya Guf. What does it mean? He's darshaning the way the Kri is, Yireh, and he's darshaning the Ksiv, as if it were punctuated, Yireh Kol Schurcha Panei Hashem. How can we see Hashem? So the Stechemed, who lived in the early 1900s, the Stechemed was born, he was a Sfardish Goyen, who was born in Hebron, I think, he was born in Eretz Yisrael, and then he got a Rabbana somewhere in Uzbekistan or something like over there. And he didn't know the Minhagim over there. And he thought they were pulling a fast one on him. Every day there was another minig, this minig, that minig. So he started corresponding with all the Rabbanim in Europe to ascertain whether it's authentic, whether these minhagim really existed or not. And then he used to write so much that he put out a whole encyclopedia that's called the Stechemet. It's not exactly alphabetically arranged, but approximately. All the Alephs are together. Within the Alephs is not exactly in alphabetical order. All the Alephs together, all the bases together. And he has there all the letters that he corresponded to the Netziv and to Rav Shlaim from Vilna and to all the other Rabbanim out of his generation, many, many Rabbanim. Has all the letters, plus essays that he wrote, encyclopedic essays. That's why one would have thought when they did work on the Encyclopedia Talmudit, they would first use the Stechemet, first use the encyclopedias that exist already, and then put together with it. So they didn't do that. There are certain pieces of information that the Stechemet has that the Encyclopedia Talmudit left out. I don't know why, where the brains, they submission. So the Stechemet has a letter from Shlomo Levilna. He's trying to explain. The Gemara says on the last daf in Chagigah, when the Oil of Yigolim used to come to the Beis HaMikdash, he used to lift up the Shulchan and show the people the Lechem upon him, how fresh it was. That was a Ness. And the Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel says that the Lechem upon him on the Shulchan was Lechem Cham Ki Yom Hi Lokchoi. The lechem upon him was warm. It sits, if you have a loaf of bread and it sits outside, you don't put it in the freezer. You leave it out for a whole week. They baked it on Friday. They put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and then they switched the lechem upon him next Shabbos. So it was sitting out of the freezer for a whole week. So it should be hard like a rock. It should taste awful. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmuel, a miracle occurred. Lechem cham ki yom hi lokcha. It was warm like the day that they got out of the oven, which was Friday. The afias lechem upon him is not derech Shabbos, so they always baked it on Friday. They put it on the shulchan on Shabbos and then sat there till next Shabbos. So they would lift up the shulchan, and then they would squeeze the lechem upon it to show that it's fresh. It's not hard as not hard like a rock. Should have been hard. And then they would also in the Bais Rishon period, where the Orim with the Kruvim would be there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So they would roll up the pareches and show the people the Kruvim hugging each other and give a speech to the Olam Rigolim. Ruchi Baschem Lefnei Amokim. Look at the way the Rabbanu Shalom loves the Jewish people. The two Kruvim were Kiravya, like baby faced. The Kruvim were like baby faced. One was like a male face, one was like a female face. The male face represents the Rabbanu Shalom, and the female face represents Klal Yisrael. Goes in Shir Hashirim and Tanakh, the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael is compared to one of a marriage. And the husband, the chassan, is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the kala is Knesset Yisrael. That's why the Baal HaTanya has a drasha. We say in the pasuk, "Od Yishama Be'ar Yehudim Chutzlan Kol Chassan Mekol Kala." What do you mean, Kol Kala? The kala doesn't say anything under the chuppah. Chassan says, "Hari Amukudeshesli." Kala doesn't say anything. So he has a whole discussion about that kasha.
quick question. Why was it permitted to show the Kugan? Well, the Mishnah Nebo says that when they would work in the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohen Kadosh was fixing it, that they would have a special, like, box that they would go down. So the low Lazo Neseno. Like, what's a chelet? Why is that Aser? What's the difference?
You shouldn't get Hanoah from it, but you're allowed to look. The closing pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar that says Lo Yavo Leiros Kavalas Hakodesh Amesu, Gemara says that law only applied in the Midbar when they were traveling the Orem or Shalobim Komo, or during the Baisheni period where the Orem was in the basement. But when the Orem is Bimkomo, then it's permissible to look at it. Shalom Lozen Einem, they shouldn't get a lot of pleasure. They shouldn't steer it for a long time and get pleasure from it. So how did they know that people wouldn't look for a long time? Maybe they only rolled it up for a second and then they rolled it down again. So no one that could be Zanenem, maybe that's the answer. I don't know, but it's a good question. It's a good question. So the Gemara says they used to raise the lechem upon, raise the shulchan and show the lechem upon and that it's fresh. And they used to roll up the paroiches. The Gemara says that in Bais Rishon, there was no curtain, there was no cloth paroiches. It was a solid wall that was an amma thick. Amatraxin. So what were they rolling up? In the Baisheni period, there were two curtains, one at the beginning of the Amma, one at the end of the Amma. Because the Gemara says there was a suffix. From which point on did the Kodesh HaKadoshim have the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim? From the it was a thick an Amma, Amatraxin, a thickness of an Amma. So did it have the Kedusha's Kodesh HaKadoshim from the beginning of the Amma, from the end of the Amma? So the Baisheni had two curtains. And Kohen Gadol went in between, then he walked in front of the Orin, where the Orin used to be, in the Bais Rishon, where the Orin used to be. So the Gemara says, how can you roll up the Orin in the Bais Sheni period, the Kruvim are not there? So you can't show them the Kruvim. So the story happened in Bais Rishon. Bais Rishon, the Parochus was solid brick. So what do you mean they rolled up the Parochus? The Gemara says, no. It was a solid brick wall, but there were windows in it, and the windows had little curtains there. So they roll up the curtain in the window to show the Olei Megolim, that's when the Bais Rishon period. They would be Megolil the Paroiches to show the Olei Megolim, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei Amok. So Abshalom Nadon explained, where in the world did they get their seinfall? To roll up the Paroiches? On their own they figured it out, and to pick up the Shulchan and to squeeze the Lechem upon it, like squeezing tomatoes and squeezing melons in the store to see if you want to buy. What kind of shtick is this? So he says, because they had a tradition, Yireh Yeroeh, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to look at Bnei Yisrael, so too he comes to be seen by the Bnei Yisrael. How can we see the Ribbono Shel Olam? He doesn't have a body. So the Chacham understood you have to show the Nisim Tadirim. There was a Nes every week that the Lechem upon him was fresh. And they showed him the Kruvim, one of the male Kruv, the Kruvim were the baby faces of the Kruvim. So the male Kruv represented the Chassan, the Ribbono Shel Olam, in the marriage. And the female Kruv represented Knesset Israel. So that's called Yira Yeroi. The Shechina comes to see the Jewish people. Yira called Schurcha. Yeroi called Schurcha as Bnei Hashem. They should appear in front of the Baruch Shalom. He should look at us. And we should see the Shechina. We see the Shechina by looking at the fresh Lechem upon him, the miracle, and by looking at the Kruvim.
Why did
Rabbi
say this had to be
by Shechina
again?
No, it had to be by Shechina. By Shechina, the Kruvim were not there. They were in the basement. But then Bais Rishon, the Gemara is, Bais Rishon, the Amatraxon was a solid wall. How do they roll up? Rolling up only makes sense if you have a curtain. Gemara says, yeah, in the Bais Rishon there was a solid wall, but there was a window in the wall, and the window had a curtain, so they would roll up the curtain in the window to show the crew.
Gemara says it was Bais Rishon.
The Gemara says that the rolling up of the parochas, that was in Bais Rishon. It couldn't have been in Bais Sheni because the crew were not there. Yeah. So the Gemara quotes this Tana Yechanan Medavoy. He says the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Teimo. What? Asuma be'eno achas. Asuma v'achas me'enav potem en ari. Inat mechiv to be ole rego. By Shenemar, the Pasuk says Yeh kol zechurcha. But the Ksiv is Yeh kol zechurcha. There's no Korean Ksiv here. There's no conflict between the Korean Ksiv. And nonetheless, this Tana Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy darshins the combination of both together. That's what Tosfos said on Amud Aleph. Whenever it's possible, you establish the halacha based on the combination of both, like Yutan. Yutan Maimazer, Yutan, don't need the Eitan, that you need Nichalei. So here also, he says, Ma'al Le'roes B'shtei Einov, Just like we come to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabban Shalom looks at us with the both of his eyes, af lirois should also be b'shtei enof. We should come to see the Shekhinah with both of our eyes. The Rabban Shalom comes, and we're going to look at him b'shtei enof. So if a Jewish person, Suma Bein Achas, is not chayiv in Aliyah Leregel. That's what the Tana says. And the Gemara assumes that the other Tanaim disagree. The Gemara, the first Mishnah, the first Daf in Chagiga, that Beis Amin Aleph, Gemara assumes, it says there, Hakol Chayovim Beriah. Mishnah makes it say, Hakol Chayovim Beriah Chutz Mecheir Rishayit Vekod. What do you mean, Hakol? Marbo over here. Gemara says, Hakol means that the Chachomim disagree with this Tana, Rabbi Yechanan Ben Davoy, and they hold Simon Ben Achas, is Chayiv in Beriah. So the Gemara says, it's a Machlekes HaTanaim. So the Gemara says, but don't you see, Beferish, that the issue of Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMasoris, and you try L'chatchila to blend two in together, to establish halacha based on the combination of both together, applies even when there is no conflict between the Korean exhibits. It's the same spelling. Yiri Yerua is the exact same spelling. So what we just said is not correct. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela, three lines from the Bala. Ela, Omer, Avach, Breda, Ravika. So what did the Gemara say now? The Gemara backed out. On the top line, the Gemara says there never was a machlekes Yeshem LaMikra. Gemara says it's wrong. You see from Tetefes that there is a machlekes, but the Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMasoris. That Rabbi Shmuel says you ignore the kri and you follow the ksiv. So the Gemara, then the Gemara suggested maybe the only time Rabbi Shmuel would say you follow the ksiv as opposed to the kri is when there's a discrepancy between the kri and the ksiv, but there's nothing fishy. There's no country. There's no discrepancy at all. Then everybody agrees the Yeshem LaMikra. The Gemara says wrong. The issue of Yeshem LaMasoris applies even when there's no kriyaksiv, even the word Yira Yira. So it's an ongoing debate. Everything we said in Amud Aleph is back again. Everything is correct. There is a machlokes halacha. So then you left. If we talk about shvuayim kenidos, that doesn't really pose a problem. Tosis explained what's the answer to that question. If you hold that somehow the Yeshem LaMasoris, even when there's no discrepancy, so why doesn't anybody say that he'll let his nekevas tamei for 70 days and then has he made tohar for 66 days? It tells you, Amin Aleph answered that away. Everything is twice as much. 33 so by boy is 66 by girl. So the 7 by the boy turns out to be 14 by girl. By the parallel, you see it's twice as much. So that's not really such a kasha. And shvuayim, if it really is shvuayim, it's spelled without a vav. Spelled without a vav. I don't know. Anyway, Tosfos said on Amud Aleph, that question we can answer. It's the only question that's outstanding is, I didn't know basa b'cholov. Maybe I should ignore the kri, lo sevashikli b'chalevim, or ignore the kri, and we should paskin based on the ksiv. And the ksiv, one could read it that it means you're not allowed to cook meat with chalev, and it's not true. There is no such thing. You're permitted to cook meat with chalev. It'll be treif. The chalev is treif, but you're permitted to cook meat with chalev. There is no such isa. So if you all get shame, la mikra, you follow the kri, b'chalev imo means b'cholav shel imo. Chalev is the smichas, cholav shel imo. But if there is a tana, and the Gemara says, go back to what they said in Amud Aleph, there is a tana who holds yeshem la masoris, even when there's no conflict between the kri and the ksiv. So why isn't there a tana who says that meat and milk is mutter, only meat and chalev is also? Gemara says no, and that pasuk gets Ela amra avach b'eder avike. The answer over there is everybody agrees on that pasuk that it's pasuk b'cholav. Now it's chalev. Why? Because that's v'ashal gedi derech bishal asra Torah. What's the answer? Derech bishal asra Torah. So Rashi learns pasuk pshat. If you're going to cook together meat with chalev, that's not called bishal. Bishal is if you cook a solid with a liquid. But if you're cooking meat with chalev, that's what we call tigun. That's frying. So the verb is incorrect. It shouldn't say lo sevashal gedi. It should have used a different verb. That's the last line of Rashi. It's not called bishul. Ein a bishul ala tigun. Ein a bishul ala tigun. So that's the question, Taka. What's the din halacha l'maisa b'zman hazeh? If you have basa b'cholav de raisa, so we say it's also bishul, also machila, also b'ano. If you have basa b'cholav de rabbanon, let's say chicken, machlek satanoim. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch that chicken and milk is only basa b'cholav d'rabbanan. So therefore we assume in Shulchan Aruch, based on Mishnais, it's only asa b'achila, it's muta to bishul, and it's muta b'ano. Let's say by accident you cook the chicken with milk. Or you're allowed to cook, let's say a guy works in a restaurant. and they ask him to cook. Our guy's in the army. He's cooking in the kitchen. They want him to cook chicken with butter. So it's mutter to cook chicken with butter. You're not allowed to cook chicken with. You're not allowed to cook meat with butter, even if non-Jews are going to eat it. That's an isa bishul. Even if Jews are not going to eat it, but to cook chicken with butter is mutter. Said in Shulchan Aruch based on Mishnayos. Whenever it's only basar b'chol rabbanan, it's mutter b'bishul and mutter b'hanor. So what would be the din if I have meat and I fried the meat with butter? See, I have real basar b'chol of there, I said, but I didn't do bishul, I did tigwin. So some posts can be looking in the back. Maram Shif has a tshuva halacha l'maisa. So the Maram Shif assumes, and many major posts can assume, that derech tigun is only bishul bas b'chol rabban. There's no isa deraisa. The pashta says that it's not correct. The pashta says like this: if you would establish the halacha that basa b'chelav is asa, basa b'cholav is mutter, we ignore the kri, we only follow the ksiv. So the ksiv, we're going to paskin, we're going to pronounce it other than the kri. It's only an iser, b'chelev ima. So if the whole iser is basa b'chelev, so the Torah should not have used the verb. Lo sebashel. If you talk about chelev imi, it should say lo titkon. You should have used a different verb of tikkun, of frying. So this is how we prove that the pasuk is talking about meat with milk. But once there's an iser of cooking meat with milk, so who are the nami? If you're going to fry the meat with butter, it's also bishul. Tigun is another form of bishul. If the whole pasuk is only talking about meat with chelev, so then the verb shouldn't, chumash should not have used the verb lo sevashel. Should have said tigun. So that's how we establish that the pasuk is talking about meat and milk. Normally meat and milk, you cook it, you have a pot full of milk and you put in the meat, and it's bishul. But who are the nami? If you're going to do tigun, it'll also be an isa derais. The pashtus is like that. Pashtus is that rov haposkim say like that. That tigun would be basa b'chol of derais. It would be also bishul. Would be also b'anoa. Not just also b'achil. The Gemara's argument was there bishul also derais. To disprove, you can't say that pasuk is only talking about chelav, because then it should have used a different verb. Yeah, that's the poshipshat. That's how Rashi learns. And then Tosfos says v'yesh meforashim. The last four lines in Tosfos, Yeshmef, and the bottom Tosfos, Yeshmef, and others say a whole different word. Not that we're picking on the verb. Instead of Lo Sevashel, we should have said Lo Titgon, but rather the whole understanding of the prohibition, Lo Sevashel Gli B'Chalev Imai, has the connotation of Derech Bishol Osra Torah. The Basar is Mutter and the Cholav is Mutter. Only when you combine the two together, that's the Chiddush that it becomes awesome. Just like the Gemara says, Tzemer alone is mutter and pishtan alone is mutter. But if you combine the two together, that makes it into shatnas. It makes it into the klai yaker. So the Gemara says this is such a similar halacha. The basar alone is mutter, the cholav alone is mutter. Only when you combine the two together, you cook them together, that makes it into basar v'cholav derech. So that's when it is derech bishul. Osra Torah, we can't be talking about lo sevashel b'chelev imo. Chelev is treif, period. Chelev is treif. If you're going to cook the flesh with the chelev, it's going to be in a sin of stamp, and the chelev into the flesh. The pasuk is not talking about cooking kosher food with non-kosher chelev. Chelev is an isa kares, a non-kosher. Pasuk means derech bishul asur Torah. Only if you cook the two together, the combination of both together, makes it asur. So if it's chelev, it's already asur before you even begin. That's the yesh mefarshim in Tosfos. They say yesh mefarshim derech bishul asur Torah. What does it mean? The below bishul shari vayidei abishul asur. By itself, it would have been mutter. The basar alone is mutter, the cholav alone is mutter. Only when you combine the two together. Lapuki, to the exclusion of chelev, if you cook the basar with chelev, the belav hachi also, the chelev is also awesome. That's what Tosfos says, Pshat. Now they're not happy with that. Because of the pizeh, the chelev and mesa, srinon, the Gemara in Chulin, Perakalabas, the Gemara discusses funny cases. The Gemara says, what's the din if you have a piece of chelev? Chelev is flesh. You have a piece of chelev, and you cook it with milk. So the Gemara said, that's basa b'chol of deraisa. What's the shayla? The shayla bein isa chalal isa. It already is chelev. Can the isa basa b'chol of yichal on top of the isa chelev? So it's a discussion in the Gemara with the Rishonim there. Is it really ein isa chalal isa? Because the chelev is muta b'hano. It's only asa b'achila. When you cook it with milk, not only is it asa b'achila, it's asa b'hano. Why don't you consider that an isa moisif? The second Issa adds an added dimension that wasn't there from before. So that's a discussion. The Gemara with the Tosfos, the famous Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah talks about it. That's a whole discussion. So Tosfos says, "Vekosher lefizeh." If that's the pshuto shal mikra, that basa b'chalav is only osir. If the basa alone is muta, the chalav alone is muta, like kloy akerem, like kloy begodim, like chatnis. The tzemer beged alone is muta, and the pishtim beged alone is muta. The combination of both together is osir. The Gemara makes that mashal. Similar to that. So how can the Gemara say in Kalabasa that it's a double portion? If you cook chalav with milk, it's a dead giveaway that it's basa b'chalav. And if you cook nevela meat with milk, it's obvious that it's basa b'chalav. Why is it so obvious? But the chalav and the nevela was also b'achila before you even began. So it shouldn't be included. I don't know, is it such a strong kasha? This is says, kasha lefizeh, they leave off with the kasha. How can the Yesh Mefarshim say that their official lesson term means that the basa alone is muta and the chalav alone is muta, only the combination makes it also. What are you going to do with the Gemara Chulin that says not so? Not such a strong kasha. The same terrors that we gave before by the Tigun. If the Pasuk would be talking about losa vashe gni b'chelev, the Ika Pasuk is talking, one of them is treif already, the chelev is also. So that's how you know that it's talking about losa vashe gni b'chalev imo chalav. The basa is muta, the chalav is muta, the combination makes us. What if you have cholov? What if you have cholov from a behema treifa? What if the basar is b'sar nevela? If the basar is chelev? So it's also included. You're saying what the pshuto shal mikra is talking that the basar alone is muta, the cholov alone is muta, the combination makes it also. But once you say that that's the pshat and basar b'cholov, so who are the nami? It'll be included if the flesh is nevela. And if the flesh is chaylev, and if the milk is milk from a behema treifa, it'll also be included, even though one of them was also before you even began. The only time you have basa b'chalav is when each one by itself is muta. That's the pshuto shal mikra goes on such a case. The kasha is not insurmountable. The last kasha that Tosfos has. Yeah, here there's a famous kasha from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta that the Darshanim used to quote in Europe. That who says the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to look with both eyes? Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have any eyes. But we mean, what do you mean he's looking at, well, it's a melitza. What do you mean he looks at both eyes? There's hashgacha pratis on everything that we're doing, and he wants to protect us and defend us and take good care of his children. Like parents take good care of their children. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a good father, Avinu Shebashamayim, and he takes care of us, he looks with both eyes. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanta had the following kasha. You got to listen to the cheshbon. He was known as making cheshbon. The pasuk says the mitzvah of visiting the Beis Hamikdash Shalosh Agavim appears three times in the Chumash. One of the three times says Shalosh Parmashale Rakol Zchurcha Es Penei HaOdon Hashem. The Rebbe Shalom described as an Odon. When is he described as an Odon? So the Gemara has Baba Basra in the first parak. And sometimes in Chumash we are described as Bonim Lamokim, Bonim Atam Roshamakim. Sometimes we are described as Avadim. Which is it? So one Tana is of the opinion, Machleg Zameh, reviewed in the Mishlam Melech, has a whole essay in his Drush Sefer, and Parashas Drachim, which opinion do we accept? But Reb Zalzalant is asking, according to that Tana, one Tana says, we are called Banim when we're Oysim et Zonu Shamakim, we're called Avodim when we ain't Oysim et Zonu Shamakim. So if the Pasuk says, Iliris is Penei Ha'odan Hashem, if he's an Odan, that means that we are an Eved. If we are Bonim, then he would be called Liris is Pnei Avichem. But if he's called Pnei Ha'odan Hashem, means that we are Avadim. And one Tana says, when are we called Bonim? When are we called Avadim? When we're Oysim Mitzon HaShemachim, we're called Bonim. And then he's called Avinu. And when we're Ein Oysim Mitzon HaShemachim, we're called Avadim. He's called an Adam. So the main pasuk is talking, Ali Ala Regal, is talking when we're Ein Oysim Mitzon HaShemachim. So then Rabbi Sol Salanter is, there is a Medrash Rabban Shirashirim, one of the last psukim, Brach Dodi et Melech Oletz, maybe it's the last pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Brach Dodi Melech Oletzvi, V'Goyma. So the Medrash says that when the deer is awake and it's running around all over the place, so the deer looks at both of his eyes. He looks at everything that's going on both eyes. When the deer goes to sleep, he always keeps one eye open. So too, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, when we are Osam Mitzvah Shalmakim, he looks at us with both eyes, means he has Hashgacha Pratis, and he watches over everything to take extra care that the Jewish people should be protected. And we, whom we ain't Osam Mitzvah Shalmakim, he doesn't close his eyes completely. There's no complete Hester upon him. He keeps one eye open, He's still looking after our taking care of our needs. Keeps one eye open. So Salanta said, if you put together all the Mamre Chazal, you have a kasha. The pasuk says, "Swalish Mamre Shana Kozchuch Benei Ha'Adon Hashem." So these called an Adam, we're called Avadim. If we're called Avadim, we're Ein Osim and Sana Shemakom. Ein Osim and Sana Shemakom. He only looks with one eye. So how does Rabbi Yechonon Ben Davoy come up to say, just like the Shechina comes to look with both eyes, Amalitza, so too we should look with both. No, other Rabbi. Shechina only looks with one eye because we're Ein Osim and Sana Shemakom. That's Rabbi Sol Salanta's kash. So in the Drush Svarim, they call the kasha, and they give the Rutzim on the kasha. It's interesting. So Zalanta used to ask, he was a big baki, and he used to mix together halacha with agadah with the Gemara. That's the famous kasha. Fine. Enough. Okay, it was a tangent. The whole Daf Gemara is a tangent about Yeshem LaMikra, Yeshem LaMasoris. And the Yikar is the Tosfos and Amanal, the two opinions, whether Dam Bechlal Basan, the Maskanah's Dam is not Bechlal Basan. And the way it's the Ger Lalacha, the way the Prima Godim and Rab Chaim said Lalacha. Dam is not Bechlal Basan, but the Dam of a Trefa will be Asa Menatar because of Yotze Menah Asa. Even if it'll be Dam Shebishlo and takes off the Issa Dam, but it doesn't take off the Issa Trefa. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, the last line. Tana Rabbanan, last line of Dalar on the base. Tana Rabbanan dinim amnes b'shloisha dim ha'imum chal rabim dan afilu yechidi. Yeah. What does it mean, amum chal rabim? An expert, crackerjack. He did so many cases of dinim amnes. We usually say, alti don yechidi shen don yechidi ela echod. That's exerish and meyite. That's what Tosa says. But if it was amum chal rabim, then you don't have to be so worried. Yeah. So Rashi comments on the Gemara, how can it be a mumcha l'rabim is good, the yochid? So Rashi says, because we're talking about hoidos v'halvois. And it goes with the opinion, Rabbi Achabei de Rabike, on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, that there's no ear of parshias, and it says, b'tzedek tish b'tam yisecho, the top Rashi, on him and on, b'tzedek tish b'tam yisecho, sachad nami kosher, so if he's a mumcha l'rabim, you revert back to the din d'raisa. The din d'raisa is chad nami kosher. But we have a din, the Rabban and the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Alti Don Yechidi, Shen Don Yechidi Al Echad Gzeira Shemayite. But if he's a mum chaleram, you don't have to be afraid of Gzeira Shemayite. That's what Rashi says. Then you revert back to the din derais. Tosi says, how can that be? There was a machlekes hamarayim on the base of the base in Gimel Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Bo was of the opinion, Shnaim Shadonu, the Divri Hakol ain't the name din. You need shlosha. He holds that here. Parshias kasev kan. That you need shlosha smuchim all the time. So if Rashi has a brisa here, that if he's a mumcha l'ram, you revert back to the din deraisa chad nami kosher. How can Rabbi Bo say the divi hakol? He's saying against this brisa. Brisa is a tana. Rabbi Bo means divi hakol. All the tanoim agree. So that's what leads Tosis to give a different shita. That mum chaleram dan afi yedechidi maybe is a takana de rabbanon. Doesn't mean that it's a you revert back to the din deraisa. You don't have to be worried about alti don yechidi shem yitta because he's such a cracking jack, such an expert lion. No, it's a takana de rabbanon. It's a takana de rabbanon. Mum chaleram menatari you really need shlosha. Let's say there is zero parshas. You really need shlosha, and mid the rabbanon that we make all that a mum chaleram is good. Fine, but this is a problem of mihu kasha. The last 13 lines in Tosis. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. What is that in Rosh Hashanah? The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah talks about Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Hariyah. That Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, Rosh Chodoshim, the simple translation of the Pasuk is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month of Nisan, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam appears to Moshe Rabbeinu and gives him a nevuah. In the month of Nisan, Achodesh Alahem Rosh Chodoshim. This should be Achodesh Arishain, and Tishrei is Achodesh Hashvi, and so on. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were no names for the months. The Gemara in Yerushalmi says Shmos Chodoshim Helo Imayim Bavel. When they came back from Golas Bavel, they changed the whole system. Instead of having Achodesh Arishain, Achodesh Hasheni, Achodesh Hashlishi, they had names for all of the months, and the names were Goyish names like Elul is Elil, Avod Zara. And Tammuz is the name of an Avodah Zarah. I once went to the shoemaker over here on St. Nick. I think it's a Korean or something, I don't know. It could be he's still there. It could be it's the same shoemaker. So he had a calendar on the wall. had a Goyish calendar, had four or five of the months of the same names that we have. Tam is the middle of the summer, and then Elul is right after, soon after. I think four or five months have the same names. They're Goyish names. That's what some say. You see that the rabbis also used to pick up, that's assimilation or whatever. You pick up things, benhogim from the Goyim, and you introduce them into the Jewish religion. That's what it says. Shmos Chadosh Mehalimai Mebaba. So the Ramban Chumash and the Pasuk in Parshas Boy, Chodesh Elachem, quotes this passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says that Ezra, who introduced it, felt that this was a way of fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa b'chodesh Elachem. Why is HaChodesh Elachem Rosh Chodoshim? Why is Nisan the Chodesh HaRishon? We should have a zecher to the Gula built into the calendar. The Nisan, the Galud, the Yitzias Mitzrayim was in the month of Nisan. So the Yoylam Void, we're going to remember that the Gula's Mitzrayim was in Nisan. That's month number one. But then there was a Gula's Bavel, and there was a Gula from that after 7 years of Gula's Bavel. So Ezra felt, and a chelik of the mitzvah, a chodesh alachem, is we should incorporate a zecher to the gula from Golas Bavel also into the calendar. So we retain the same old system that we had before, chodesh Rishon, chodesh Hasheni, chodesh Hashlishi, and then he superimposed another system that then the months have numbers. Let's say we have a shaila, we have Od Rishon, Od Sheni, when you have a shanim uberes. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no other Rishon Adar Sheni. There was no other. There was no Nisan Iyar Sivan. There were no months. It was a Chodesh Hashteim Asa and the Chodesh Hashlosha Asa. So let's say, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know if they observed Yahrzeit. They say Kaddish on Yahrzeit. Maybe it didn't exist. The practice didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. But let's say a person wants to observe a Yahrzeit. So a parent died in the month of Adar in Hashanah Peshuta, then he wants to observe Yahrzeit in Hashanah Mu'uberes. So a child that was born in the month of Adar, and then he's going to be Bar Mitzvah 13 years later, it's going to be Hashanah Mu'uberes. So when was he born? Moshe Rabbeinu was born Zayin Adar, and he died Zayin Adar? There was no Adar. He was born Zayin L'Chodesh HaShneimasar. So let's say when he became Bar Mitzvah, if there would be a Shanim Uberis, I don't know. If the year he became Bar Mitzvah was a Shanim Uberis, would he become Bar Mitzvah an Od Rishon of Od Sheni? He said, what Od Rishon, Od Sheni? There is no Od Rishon. There's a Chodesh HaShneimasar and a Chodesh HaShlosha Asar. So he was born Zion L'Chodesh HaShneimasar. So he probably becomes Bar Mitzvah, Zion L'Chodesh HaShneimasar. Why not? Why should there be a Suffolk about it? Old Suffolk only comes up after Ezra came along and he introduced Shmos Chadosh Me'elam Imai Mebavel. He felt that there's a chelik of the Din Deraisa, that's the Ramban Chum, chelik of the Din Deraisa, Chodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chadoshim, to incorporate a zecher to the Gula into the calendar. So he incorporated Shmos Chadoshim. So how does this jibe with the numbers of the months? You have the old system and every month has a number. And when you get to all the din of the rice, it depends on the number of the month. But when you get to the din of the rabbanon, let's say Purim falls out. Purim was instituted at that time after Ezra instituted the Shmos Chadoshim. So Purim is instituted that it should be observed in the month of Adar, not in the Chodesh HaShneimasar. So that's why the Gemara has a whole three-way, a whole machlokes atanaim. When does one observe an Hashanah Mu'uberes? When does one observe Purim? You observe an Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni. Because in the days of Ezra, when they made the Takana Purim, the Nes Purim occurred a few years before the Binyan by Sheni, towards the end of the 7 years of Golus Baba. That's how the Gemara says in many different places. The history books are off and on. For 50 years they'll say against the Gemara, then now in the middle of the 50 years they say the same as the Gemara, that the Nes Purim occurred, the story of Purim. I don't know if they believe in the Nes. The story of Purim occurred soon before the end of the Golus Baba. At Chatzi HaMalchus, Ahasuerus tells, I'm prepared to do anything for you. I love you, but I won't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Because Beis HaMikdash was in the middle of Mehod HaBeat Kush, it was in the middle of the Sheva V'yasa Memeh Medin. The Gemara has many agaritas, assuming that the Nes Purim occurred toward the end of the Golus Bavel period of time, before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So now the history books are agreeing with the Gemara that that's when it happened. Okay. So when they instituted the Yom Tov HaPurim, they had just instituted Shmos Chadoshim. So they said, they made a takana that Purim is not the 14th day of the Chodesh HaShneimasar. They said, 14th they have Chodesh Adar. So then the Shaila is, what if you have a Shana Mubaris and there are two Adars, Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni? So which is the real Adar? Which Adar do you keep the mitzvahs? So the wheat paskin, you observe Purim and Adar Sheni. Adar Rishon is only Purim Katan. Also a Yantif, but we observe the mitzvahs on Adar Sheni because they're both Adar. If Purim would have been a Din Daraisa, the whole thing wouldn't make any sense. What do you mean? Oh, division. There is no division. There's a Chodesh Hashleim Asa. Chodesh Hashleish Asa. So Chodesh Hashleim Asa is the same this year as every other year.
How does Rabbi know that when in the original count that the 12th month wasn't just an additional 12th month? I would have thought that when Ezra made the Takana to have new months and he made Adarishan, he didn't make a 13th name. I would think that he's found the Din Daraisa of whatever it was before him.
No, but the Din D'Oraisa was Acharei Tzavlachem Rosh Chodashim. They're not supposed to have days for the months, like you're not supposed to have days for the weeks. The Ramban quotes on Chumash from the Tanoim. You're not supposed to say Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You're supposed to say Echad B'Shabbos, Sheni B'Shabbos, that every day we should mention that there's an institution of Shabbos. It's just like you're not supposed to say Sunday, Monday. You're not supposed to say January, February. You're not supposed to say Nisan, Yisiv. You're supposed to have numbers for the months. So whenever you say a month, it's a Chodesh HaShvi, a Chodesh HaShishi, we'll always be mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim, because all the months are numbered according to the beginning of Nisan, it's Yetzias Mitzrayim.
So it's only established that therefore the 13th month couldn't have had any Shachas to the 12th month, because it's just counting?
What do you mean?
Shachas with the 12th month? That Adar Sheni, the equivalent of Adar Sheni,
was 1 month but 60 days.
Okay.
There's such a difficult Rashi in Sanhedrin. We'll get there. Okay. Later on, we'll get to this again. But the Pashtus is, Rashi with the Yad Raman like that, but the Pashtus is, it's Achodesh HaShlosha also. Pashtus is, I think, like that. And in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really born on Zion Adar. He was born in Zion, Achodesh HaShneimasa. So 13 years later, even if it happened to Shana Mubaris, there wouldn't be any Shaila that he become Bar Mitzvah or Adarishan or Adarishan. There ain't no such thing Adarishan or Adarishani. He was born in Zion HaChodesh HaShnei Masar. So there's only one Zion HaChodesh HaShnei Masar. There's no Tosa. That's the Shaila. After Ezra introduces Shmos Chadoshim, so did he change the system? We no longer say HaChodesh HaRishan or HaChodesh HaShnei. And he had the right to change it? And now we only go with the names of the months. From the Korean calendar, we only go with the names of the months. But he say no, with respect to all the dinim deraisa, it depends daka on the number of the month. But they get to the dinim derabban that were instituted in Mikan al Haba when Chanukah came along, when Purim is instituted then, so all the dinim from now on, they instituted based on the name of the month. But the dinim deraisa depend still on the number of the month. So that's the Shaila now. If a child is born, Moshe Rabbeinu would be born after the days of Ezra, he's born Zayin Adar. So when does it become Bar Mitzvah? So you have a Shaila. There are two others, or the Rishon or the Sheni. So it's a tied to the Sasri. So whenever you have a tied to the Sasri, you treat it like a Sofik. So we treat it like a Sofik, so it doesn't become Bar Mitzvah until the Sheni, because they're both called Adar. And maybe you should be Mechuyiv to observe the Mitzvah of Tefillin starting from Adar Rishon. When you have a tied to the Sasri, he was born Zayin Adar. There are two Zayin Adars this year. So maybe you're the Rish, maybe you're the Sheni. So you should go to Chumrah in both directions. You should really start putting on tefillin from Zayin or the Rish, but you shouldn't be Mitzar from Dominion until Zayin or the Sheni. You treat it like that. What do you say? No, but you get to all the Dinam Derais, you still go with the number system. The names of the months didn't change anything on the level of Derais. That's a shot of the Rambam lists off on his opinion of the 13 Ikori HaMunit. That's in Perek Chelek. In the Pirush HaMishnah, he's in Kol Yisrael Yesh Mechelik Yolam Abba, unless a person is an Apikoris. So the Rambam lists off what are the 13 principles of faith, that whoever doesn't believe in Ikori HaMuna is considered an Apikoris. So the Rambam lists off one of the principles of faith is Shazal Satar Lo Sehim Mechlefes. The laws of the Torah never change. In our generation, that's the main crux of the issue between the Orthodox and all the others, where the people believe Torah Min HaShemayim, but they say still have a right to change. And the real Orthodox position is like the Rambam said, we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam said he's not going to change. The laws of the Torah are binding forever. The laws of the Torah never change. So the Rambam lists this as one of the 13 Ikarim. So Rabbi Yosef Albo has a Sefer HaYikarim. So he argues with the Rambam. How can the Rambam say the laws of the Torah never change here? Shmos Chadosh Mehalim Imayim Bavel. They changed the system. It used to be numbers, and now it's names for the months. So the question is that really true? They changed the system? Maybe they superimpose. In addition to the all the Yamim Tovim Deraisa depend on the number of the month. Pesach falls out the 15th of the Chodesh HaRishon. Rosh Hashanah falls out Becha the Chodesh HaShvi'i. That didn't change. The Shmos Chodoshim is superimposed on top of the system of the numbers, and the Din of the Rabbanon, the Yontav HaPurim and the Yontav HaChanukah, other things depend on the name of the month. But all the Din of the Deraisa depend on the number of the month. Rabbi Yosef Alba thinks not so. Yosef Alba thinks that the Ezra changed the whole system, and we no longer count the numbers of the months, we only count on the names of the months. You see that the laws of the Torah can change. He disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam is the more accepted opinion. We usually assume like the Rambam. None of the laws of the Torah change. The only laws that can change are those that Moshe Rabbeinu was told are going to change. Like it says in the Chumash, we mentioned the other day. It says in the Chumash, they're going to be laws of love, are going to be nine Ori Miklot. So the Rambam writes, none of the laws of the Torah change except for the nine Ori Miklot that didn't change yet, that didn't happen yet. Ki Yachav Hashem Alkechaz Gevulcha. When we will be Mekadosh, Keni Knizi Kadmoni, as part of Eretz Yisrael, then we'll add on, Yasaf Locha, Ot Shalosh Olim, Ot Shalosh Arim, Ala Shalosh Olim. You add on another three Ori Miklot. So that's the one din that has yet to be changed, because Moshe Rabbeinu said it's going to change. And the other din of Moshe Rabbeinu said are going to change. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the din of Bris Milah, and he said there's going to come a generation that a Navi is going to come and change the nature of Bris Milah, that you need Priya also. The Gemara says in the first daf in Perikah Oril and Yevamos on daf Ayin on the base that when the mitzvah of Milah was given to Avraham Avinu and to Moshe Rabbeinu, all they had to do was cut off the Or HaOrlo, the thick skin around the Or around the Eva Hazacha. And then in the days of Yishua Ben Nun, when they went to Gilgal, he was instructed Shul Moliz Bnei Sol Shenis. He should do a second Bris Milah and all the people who had the Bris Milah in Mitzrayim before Yitzias Mitzrayim. I have to do a second Bris Milah. There's nothing to cut. The Gemara says no. Until the days of Yishua Ben Nun, they only cut off the thick layer of skin. That's called the Or HaOrlo. And Yishua Ben Nun was told to cut off the Or HaPriya, the lower membrane as well. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? He's a Novi HaSheker. How can you believe a Novi if he comes and he says, Baruch Shalom told me in the book to change the nature of the mitzvah Mila. He's a Novi HaSheker. He should be put to death. So Tosfos says, no, must have been all along. Halacha Moshe Mesina. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that a Navi will come someday in the future. He may not have necessarily been told there's going to be Yeshua Ben Nun and a Gilgal. Could be he was told a Navi in the future will come to change the nature of the din. I have a couple of other dinim like that that changed over the course of time, but it was all told to Moshe Rabbeinu, like the Ksav in the second parak in Sanhedrin, that the Ksav of the Sefer Torah used to be Ksav Levi Noah, the old alphabet. And Ezra came and he changed it. So the Rishonim asks, how does he have a right to change it? It should have given Ezra death penalties. He said, the Rosh Hashanah changed the din. That's a Nikir and Amunah. So the Rishonim answered, no, the Gemara learns it after a pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rav has the right, because of us, Mishnah HaTorah HaZois. What does it mean, Mishnah? So the Pashab Shat Mishnah Torah, a second copy of the Sefer Torah. Every Jewish man has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah, and the Melech has an obligation to write a second Sefer Torah. Mishnah Torah is us, Sefer Sheni, Sefer Nosaf. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Mishnah Torah is us, Ksav She'osed L'Hishtanos, Mishnah Miloshen Shinoi, not only Miloshen Sheni, Sefer Torah Sheni, Miloshen Shinoi, that the Ksav of the Sefer Torah is Osed L'Hishtanos. So because Moshe Rabbeinu told us that, and then Ezra came and he changed the alphabet, so that's not called the Anabi HaSheker. Moshe Rabbeinu told us that it's going to be changed. So now the only thing left to be changed is the nine Ori Miklot instead of six. But in centuries ago, they changed a few of the Dinim Deraisa based on what was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, that a Navi will come and change the nature of the Din. We gave the Moshe from Birchas HaMazon. So the Gemara says, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they said Birchas HaMazon over the month, they only said the first brach, Azanas HaKol. They didn't say, no, Deluchu, thank you for giving us Eretz. They didn't have it yet. You don't have to. It belonged to the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu, but the Poel Mamish, we didn't have it. After Yeshua Ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, So then he composed the second bracha. We thank him for giving us Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara learns that from the Psukim that you have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam al Ha'oretz HaToivo. Ha'oretz means Eretz Yisrael. HaToivo refers to Yerushalayim, like it says. Ha'oretz HaToivo Azev HaLavono. So you have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving you Yerushalayim. Well, what about Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz. Yerushalayim wasn't established as the capital till the days of David HaMelech. First he was a Melech in Hebron for 7 years, then he was a Melech in Yerushalayim 33 years. So when David HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital, he composed the third bracha. Thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. Then there's another aspect to Yerushalayim, that's the Makam HaMikdash. So that David HaMelech wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash, he was preparing, he was setting aside all the precious metals when he was victorious in battle. The Pesukim say in Tanakh, he always set aside the precious metals for the day that he'll build the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Navi told him he's not allowed to. So his son, Shlomo, built the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech added on to the third bracha. We thank you for giving us Yishalayim. That is the Makam HaMikdash. David HaMelech had. Al Ha'oretz HaToiva, Shana, Yechal Tov Esvah, Tov Erach, Tov Esvah, Shem Lakech, Al Ha'oretz HaToiva. So Al Ha'oretz, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you Eretz Yisrael. So that bracha is deraisa, that was composed by Yeshua ben Nun. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't say it, because they didn't have yet Eretz Yisrael b'poyel mamish. Then Ha'oretz HaToiva, the word HaToiva is a reference to Yerushalayim. So you have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam and HaTorah for having given you Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, the political capital of the political entity of Medinas Yisrael, and for giving you Yerushalayim as the Makam HaMikdash. So that was in two different generations. So David HaMelech is the one who established Yerushalayim as the capital. So he composed the first half of Noidelecho, of the third bracha. We thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. And then Shlomo HaMelech was the one who built the Beis HaMikdash. He added on the second part of the third bracha. We thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital and for giving us Yerushalayim as the Makam HaMikdash. After the Malchus Beis David was destroyed, and after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Tanoim changed the whole text to the third bracha. You don't say thank you for giving us, and thank you for giving us Beis HaMikdash. You say Rachem Lo, have Rachmanis. I would guess that's probably the Rabbanan. The Gemara says the first three brachas are deraisa. When you thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving you Eretz Yisrael and you have it, you thank him for Yerushalayim and Malchus Beis David. If you have it, you don't have it, you say Rachmano, have Rachmanis. That doesn't say in Chumash. It says you thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving you Eretz Yisrael and for giving you Yerushalayim as the Makam HaMikdash and for giving you Yerushalayim as the capital. But we say Rachem No Hav HaRachmanis Atzim Mishkan Kvedecho V'Malchus Bez David Mishichech Hav Rachmanis. That's the Pashtas, that's not the Din Derais. We're waiting for the day that we're going to change the Nusach of the third Bracha. Then it'll be back again. It'll be Derais again. We're going to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving us. Maybe they should change it now, that we should thank her for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. Now it is the capital, right after Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim. Within a week, the Israeli government moved some of their offices into the Eir Atika. They declare it again as the capital. The American Congress doesn't recognize it as the capital. The whole law case, the court case with the Supreme Court. With Nat Lewin and his daughter, they fought out the case and they lost it. So the American government does not recognize Yerushalayim as the capital of Medina Israel. So when you're born in Yerushalayim, it says on your passport, Jerusalem. It doesn't say any country. But according to the halacha, Yerushalayim is the capital. So maybe we should change the Nusach HaBracha, or the third bracha. We have to have a convention of all the rabbanim of the world and discuss such a possibility. Okay, so Nachamal. So we got to get. Tosis disagrees with Rashi. Tosis says that Mum Chaleram Dan Af Yedichida, that could be that that's a takon of the rabban. So the last 10-15 lines of Tosis, they have a difficulty from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that it sounds like Rashi. So tomorrow we got to start from there. I was notified that tomorrow may be on a Sunday schedule. Is on a Sunday schedule. Not maybe, is. So Sunday schedule, so we should have this year at 11:30. So 1 o'clock? Okay. Good, sold. So tomorrow, shear is 11:30.